Jesus, my Lord, I thee adore. Come, make me love you more and more. Heavenly Father, just come. Come in the power of your Spirit and make us love you more and more, even this morning. Amen. I wonder if you've ever wondered what it is that determines the shape of a sermon on a Sunday morning. Perhaps you imagine that you're inflicted with whatever is on the rector's mind, or perhaps whatever is in the news. And why is it, and how is it, that we end up with the particular readings that we do? Let me answer those questions back to front, in reverse order. For the most part, throughout the year, our readings are from the Revised Common Lectionary. Members of the World Council of Churches got together some years ago and worked very hard indeed to produce a cycle of Bible readings that in the course of 3 years would more or less circumnavigate the Bible. We call Scripture God's Word. We believe that it has power and a life of its own, and that He can speak powerfully through it. So, we have a reading plan laid out in such a way that in the course of 3 years, you would get a pretty good idea of what is in the Bible. We have somewhere deep down the conviction that God can speak through the words of the Bible. And finally, we add to the mix where we are today. In other words, how on earth God's words, in as much as we have read it today, applies to us. So, we have the lectionary readings set for us. We have that conviction that God speaks through His word when we read it. And we have what is going on around us. Those three things are like the legs on a stool, and they keep us balanced. So in simple terms, I promise you, you are not faced with just what is on the rector's mind. That would be pointless. Nor with his favorite piece of scripture. So, welcome to my world. Our path in scripture then is directed by others. Our context, the situation we live in and through, the situation we experience together and is shared by us all, challenging or dangerous though it may be, is there for us to identify what God is saying to us today. So when we have our Bible readings, first of all, we hear what it says on a simply historical level. So we hear what Jesus said to his disciples, or what someone like James said to his readers. Then we try and come to terms with what that means. Not just what it meant to them there, but actually what it means to us here. And last but not least, we wrestle with how that impacts itself upon us today. So we have these two readings, James chapter 5 and Mark chapter 9. To summarize, the first reading is all about the power and potential when believers really love and support one another, and when they share their faith and their struggles. Let me repeat that. The first reading is all about the power and potential when believers really love and support one another and share their faith and their struggles. But what happens when they don't? We have our context. As a parish, we are a fascinating mix, quite a large village on one hand, and a diverse farming community on the other. We have two beautiful church buildings, but not without their own challenges and needs. We have a wide mix of ages, although disproportionately spread, more towards the middle age and the seniors than towards children and young families. And then we have our place within the wider church, within this Diocese of Derry and Raphoe. Taking all of these things into account, what is God saying to us today? I'm not asking you what I think. What is God saying to us today? The first thing it seems to me that he is saying is this: the church only works when it works together. Unquestionably, in both of the readings we've had this morning, ministry is done not by one minister. The gospel work is done not by one leader, but by everyone. God's love is spread not by someone at the front, but by everyone in the family together. But for that to work, it needs a vulnerability and openness. For that to work, it needs a trust. James said, are any of you suffering? Then pray. Are any of you sick? Don't wrestle and keep it to yourself, but call in the elders. Call in other members of the church family and let them pray for you. Then he says something quite shocking. Confess your sins to one another. It's not easy, is it, if you have done wrong? But it is a powerful way forward. We live in a world where lots of people are held back because of things that they have done. James teaches Christians to let it go, to acknowledge it to one another. We often see, don't we, ministry as done by one person. We think about Christianity and we automatically see the Lord teaching his disciples. Not the way it appears in today's reading. James says this, my brothers and sisters, and even that is an extraordinary illustration of how close he feels. My brothers and sisters, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and is brought back by another, know this, that whoever brings back a sinner from wandering will save the sinner's soul. We live in a world and perhaps a community where there is an awful lot of gossip. An awful lot of lies and half-truths. The Word of God tells us that our words can set people free. Not imprison them and hold them down, but actually set them free. And whose job is that? It's yours and mine together. In St. Mark's Gospel, we see Jesus' followers putting themselves just that wee bit above others. Teacher, they said, we saw someone else casting out demons in your name. We tried to stop them because they weren't with us. Jesus said, do not stop them. Whoever is not against us is for us. But he goes on to say this, if any of you put a stumbling block before any of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. Question. Do you believe and trust in the words of Jesus? Do you? Because if you do, these words are frightening. These words are about either equipping someone for life and leading them to something that will bring them fulfillment, or absolutely standing in their way. Jesus doesn't mince his words, does he? Let me draw to a close, but I hope give you something to think about. I wonder if you remember your first colour television. I vividly remember mine when I was at school until somewhere around 1978. It was black and white. I never knew anything different. And then I came home one day and my daddy had got a new one, much bigger. You know, it had a huge back to it. But it was in colour. I'd never seen TV in colour. It opened for me a new way of life. It had those little tuner things. Do you remember the little wheels that you had to tune the programs in with? And it had great big fat push buttons. None of this newfangled remote control thing. Anyone got one of them today? Didn't think so, really. Brilliant TV, but actually, we've moved on. Nothing wrong with that TV, but we've moved on. I could never imagine how, but we have moved on. And do you know what? It's all right. It's okay to move on. I wonder if you've read one of these. These were put out around the seats a few weeks ago. Some of them probably are still there in the seat backs. If you haven't, then have a wee read. If you've not taken one away, then take it away. We've got enough. They are all about next year. Well, they're not really. They're about what lies beyond. Beyond next year and the year after. How do you imagine the church here in 30 years' time? Not two or three, but 30. And what are you prepared to do to get it there? The ministry of those who follow Jesus in his day and in ours is about helping people get to somewhere better. Not to stay where they are. Nothing in this life stays as it is. For if it does, it will just die. Jesus says this, "For everyone will be salted with fire." It's a peculiar use of language, mixing fire and salt, but not without reason. Fire because it burns away rubbish and brings out what is good and pure and lasting. Salt because it preserves and keeps things full of flavor and life. Jesus said, "Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another." There is a recipe that can lead to tomorrow. There is a recipe that can lead to 30 years on. If in truth we are at peace with one another and we give to God and to those who are around us the very, very best. In Jesus' day and in ours, the work of the church, the growth and life, the very survival of the church never, ever depended upon the people in leadership, and nor should it, because it depends on you. Our lives on the days between our meetings here are every bit as powerful as what happens when we are together. Jesus said, "Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it?" Let us pray that together, with love and thoughtfulness, together we move on. We take delight in what is good, but recognize too that in life things change. In love, we move on. In love, we reach out to others. In love, we even overlook it when we rub others up the wrong way and they do the same to us. Then we will see real change. Not superficially, not the obvious physical stuff, but actually the lasting, more fruitful stuff in here. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what are you saying to us? Through your words, you speak of change and life and love and hope. Help us to be agents of your change, not of our own.